I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Just after 5 o'clock, thanks for listening. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan 106.7 all over D.C. or in Richmond, 9:10 a.m., 105.1 FM. We appreciate it. We'll get to the 5 at 5 in just a couple of minutes. Fear not. We got some good ones, too, on the 5 at 5 today. We were just talking, though, about how lucky we are to no longer be in school because the magic, and I mean that, the magic of a snow day is soon going to be taken away, potentially. New York is the first to make this public. I guess they'll do it in other places. I haven't heard anything about Virginia, Maryland, D.C. area. But in New York, they're nixing snow days for remote learning. So you used to do your snow dance and wear your pajamas backwards and say that prayer when you went to bed, and you run downstairs and look outside and see the snow on the back deck. Or even worse, I was just talking to Darius about this. You know it's going to snow. They told you you're getting 1.5, 2 inches. And so you don't do your homework.
You play the snow game.
Because why would I? I'm not going to school tomorrow. It's going to snow. And so you sprint down the steps and you go to the back deck and you look out and there's a little rain and no snow. And then you got to cough and you got to tell mom you're not feeling very good. All of a sudden, I think something's wrong with
Hold me. Your head next to the lamp.
My
you know?
Stomach like- today. A serious bit. I once did this. I put a thermometer up to a light bulb.
Oh, yeah. Every kid did that.
For like way too long, and
right.
I didn't like check.
You
and
overshot.
I hand it to my mom, and it says like 107, you know? And she's like, oh no.
You're dead.
And I'm like, what? She's like, it's 107. And I'm like, is that bad? You know, what is it supposed to be? She's like, go get dressed. Now, my mom was the one to go to. I could get the day, I could convince my mom something's not right. My dad, no chance. I think I could have walked up to him with, like, blood coming out of my ears, saying, I can't make it today, Pops. And he's like, you told school at the beginning of the year you'd be there.
You made a commitment, son.
You've got an obligation, son. My mom, it's like, I coughed twice since midnight. She's like, you have? Oh, my gosh. Go lay in bed, sweetie.
You should lay down.
That's terrible. We had a nurse, sweetest lady ever in elementary school named Mrs. Prophet. This is Rhonda Prophet down here at Potomac. She used to call my mom every time I'd go, and my mom would have to come pick me up. That was my move. If I got extra hungry or anything, you know, I would just be like, oh, something's wrong.
Something's not right.
Miss Prophet would hit up my mom. Mom would come get me. It's a great way
Her
to
son
live.
LaRon was a good terp.
He was great. But nowadays, she'd say, oh, pull out your laptop. Go do your virtual learning. Clark's in D.C. He's got a thought on this real quick. What's up,
you serious, Clark?
Hey, Clark. Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, bud.
Clark. I teach in the city. I appreciate your show a lot, and in the new time slot, I'll be able to listen on the drive home, so appreciate you guys. Big fan.
Nice, dude.
I teach in the city, and, man, I can just see D.C. signing up for this. And
it's coming,
disaster,
dude. I'm telling you.
Man.
Yes.
Virtual learning has been a disaster. Yes, there's stuff that I've gained as a teacher that I'm looking forward to, like, incorporating in the fall, but by and large, like, if you love kids, if you care about kids, you wouldn't be doing this, because the inequity that it has unmasked or really highlighted, it's just, and I can just see the mayor of D.C. because it's like every time there is a snow day, as someone that grew up in Maryland, you look left, Maryland's canceled school, Virginia's canceled school, and D.C., it's like they're in some kind of, like, you know, spitting competition those two states. They're like, we're going to stay open. We're going to show everybody how much we care about education.
It's like, well, now you can do virtual learning. You can't convince me. You just can't.
I'd like to give you a hug, by the way, Clark. You're my guy.
Why
Clark's my guy. So when I basically have been like, hey, everyone should understand this remote learning thing is a disaster and it's awful and it's terrible.
Right.
They're like, well, what about the teachers? Clark's a teacher. He said it's a disaster. Correct.
That you
nobody
just
likes
one
it.
If the rest of them like it. I shouldn't give opinions on things I don't know enough about.
Okay.
As a general rule, that's my philosophy, but I'm going to do it right now.
Go for it.
You can't convince me that virtual learning is the same. Like, you just can't do it.
It's not.
You could have, from now until I die, and I'm a captive audience, I have to sit in a chair and just listen to you.
And your job is to convince me.
You'll never
You'd be thrown off the jury, by the way.
I know how I think. I know how kids think. I know how students think. There is no way you're telling me that that is a reasonable replacement. It's just not. So you could say it's the best of some bad ideas.
Of course it is, yeah.
Let's
we all knew what it was.
Let's do the best we can to get by. Do not try to convince me that it's the same or that it's just as good. No. We got to make up for lost time now. We're worse off. Societally, school either matters or it doesn't. I happen to believe that it matters.
I'm on team matters. Maybe I'm weird.
So we have to let's play some catch up here. I get how we got here. I know what happened.
Yes.
But just don't pretend like, oh, it was fine. That year of virtual learning, it was this. We got the same exact education. I've never been more sure about anything. But then again, what do I know? I'm just a guy. I'm just a dumb guy.
You're just a guy. Listen to your other guy. That's me.
I just have a lot of friends with opinions, with kids who are teachers. I got a lot of teachers that I know. I talk to a lot of teachers about this. Wonderful people. Wonderful people. I'm just telling you. You can't tell me it's the same.
Yeah, because it's not. It's not. We were, as I said a million times over, we're the lucky ones, and it was a disaster. I can't imagine people who had more challenging circumstances. The expectation was absurd and impossible and irresponsible.
All right, let's get to our 5 at 5. We are late, but that was too fun to talk about snow days. And we could try to, if you guys want, we could squeeze in one or two more on that on the other side. But we are due for a 5 at 5 right now. It is presented by Wave Soda. It's awesome, super simple, bubbly water, splash of real juice, little caffeine, unsweetened, no stevia, no artificial sweeteners. It's got that clean finish you're looking for. 2 to 6 grams of sugar is nothing. 15 to 25 calories per can is the best. Order now, wavesoda.com. Receive 15% with our promo codes, Grant or Danny. Let's start with this. Jack Del Rio was doing an interview with Julie Donaldson on one of Washington football team's shows they host on YouTube. And Del Rio was asked about Landon Collins, who he says is staying at strong safety.
Well, he's strong safety, working his butt off, getting in shape. I asked him to be just a little bit lighter this year. I think another year in the system, understanding what we do, how we do it, making sure he's in the right places at the right time, and that he can be the impactful player that we think he's capable of being. So I'm looking for Landon to take a step forward this year, play even better.
And what does that mean for Cameron Curl?
It means Cam will be playing like he did last year, whether he plays in the Buffalo nickel, whether he plays free safety, whether he spells Landon, or however he creates his times.
That's not good. That was a disappointing answer. I was hoping they could convince him to shift to linebacker or do something else. He's been a major disappointment. He costs a ton of money. They can't move on. So I hope he gets lighter. I hope he's effective. But last year he was not.
He's got a chance to still be a really helpful, good player. He is a key contributor. And there were games last year. In fact, people forget the game when he got hurt. He was having his best game with the team. He was actually dominant at the beginning of that football game. So I am still a fan. I still like Landon Collins. And I hope they find a way to get him and Cam Curl on the field at the same time. That's probably their best secondary because those are two of their better players. Number 2, 5 at 5, stay on the gridiron. A.J. Hawk is on the Pat McAfee show. He was also a guest recently on NFL Network. He's good buddies with Aaron Rodgers. They're super tight. I think they went to the Kentucky Derby together. They spoke at the Derby. And this is what Hawk said about his time talking to Rodgers.
Well, I mean, I didn't get to dive completely into it. I was down at the Kentucky Derby with him, so I was trying to keep it light, keep it, fun. But we definitely got to talk, and he doesn't know. It doesn't feel like all doom and gloom around him. Now, I have said before earlier this week that, I think – yeah, it's going to be an uphill battle to figure out whatever the rift may be between Aaron and the front office. Yeah, it may take some time. I don't know if it's something that they can salvage, but I mean, myself, as well as a lot of Packer fans, I think I'm very hopeful that they can.
The only way the Packers can get out of this is to somehow convince Aaron Rodgers that there's no better option. Right, I don't think they can rebuild the relationships. I think that ship has sailed. I don't think they can make everybody happy. I think they can basically try to find a way to show him that he's properly appreciated, maybe admit fault, admit their own mistakes, and say there's not going to be a better situation here. You're a combined 26-6 over the last couple of years. We're doing something right. It's because of you that we can get away with all our shenanigans and draft A.J. Dillon in the second round and not get you any receivers, and we're still where we are. We're grateful for you because you're the reason that the sun rises every morning here in Green Bay, but there's not a better situation out there.
No, and the Packers already know that Rodgers is what makes the sun come up for them. They don't want him to go anywhere. When people say there's just no way they'll let this happen, Tom Brady played for the Bucs last season. Yeah. Don't forget that. Tom Brady won a lot of Super Bowls. Not a Super Bowl, a lot of Super Bowls. Him and Bill Belichick were together for a lot longer than Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur or Gutekunst. That happened. Tells me that any quarterback marriage can end. If Brady can play for the Bucs, still with enough left to go win a Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers can play somewhere else too. 5-5, Grant and Danny, to the basketball court we go. Scott Brooks says this has been a really challenging year for his coaching staff, one of the most challenging of his career, but he is having a blast as the Wizards barrel down the stretch into the postseason.
This has been one of the most challenging years of my coaching career, but I love it. I love what the guys have gone through, and I love that they fought back. I mean, we were last in the league in the standings, and it wasn't because of effort. It was because of a lot of things that we had to go through. They kept fighting. They kept playing. We haven't even had time to practice. It was great to see. This team fights for one another. It's unfortunate we don't have our arena full of fans, but we got 2,100 people. They get to see it. They get to feel it, and it's been great. We got two good leaders that help us navigate through all of this.
There have been four distinct quarters or periods in this Wizards season. The first where they were horrendous. The second where they were pretty good. The third where they were horrendous again. And now we're in the fourth where, again, they're pretty good. So it's kind of exasperating that some of these things that were out of their control, obviously COVID stuff happened, shutdown happened, an injury to Russell Westbrook that he was kind of limping around happened. But still, man, it's really hard to swallow that they're not in a much better position. I put all that aside. Watching them on a nightly basis right now is fun. The games they lose, it's by a possession. They've lost twice in overtime. Once in overtime, rather. But the other, but you know, by a point to the Bucks, a point to the Mavericks. This is a fun team to watch right now, and the ride is going to continue at least for another week.
Robin Lopez playing really great basketball.
Yeah.
Like last night, he was just sensational.
All over the place. Him and Raul Neto, just like we drew it up.
Yeah, Howell Neto has been one of their better players this year, certainly in the last couple of weeks. He plays defense. He does winning things. He saves balls from going out of bounds, it seems like, every time I watch. Westbrook is their best player. He's incredible. Beal is their best scorer and maybe the best scorer in the NBA. He can't be stopped. He's unbelievable offensively. And then they got really good role players, like Daniel Gafford, who's jumping off a trampoline every time he's going for a dunk. Not only are they fun to watch, they're good right now. They're actually a good basketball team right now, this moment. I haven't thought that, been able to say that in a long, long time. Number four on ice, Tom Wilson, trying not to deal with distractions. A lot of fallout over the last several days from him taking on all of the New York Rangers and standing in a pile of rubble.
It's obviously been a crazy couple days. The good thing about social media is you're able to close it and go about your life and, you know, worry about playing hockey and worry about what's going on in this room. So it's, I'm sure it was pretty bad. And obviously there was a reaction, that I saw a little bit of, but, try not to pay too much attention to that.
It must be nice to be able to shut it down. And I'm, you know, listen, the people that already dislike the guy and hate him or whatever are going to do their normal thing, and they'll use this as another case and window that proves their point. And you're entitled to do that. Everyone gets to be loud and use all caps and underline certain things and highlights and whatever you want on your social media accounts. But if you're Tom Wilson, it's got to be pretty satisfying. You just look at the running tally of what happened this week, right? You lost $5,000. You did something you probably shouldn't have done, right? And there's been some things that you've been unfairly punished for, some things that you probably deserve punishment for over the course of your career. But you look at the reaction that's happened. The hold that you've got over a whole big portion of your rivals, that's got to be delightful and satisfying. I will say that.
I don't have a rival here. The vitriol on social media for hockey hit suspension fight stuff, worse than anything else, I think, in sports, honestly. Because there is just a disdain for players that are not your own. We're all guilty of it. I can't stand Brad Marchand. I think he's one of the worst dudes in the league.
Yeah.
In terms of how he plays.
There have been plenty of those guys.
They love him in Boston. And he's a great player. And they can't get enough of him. He's a good teammate. Probably a great human being. Hate his game. Hate it. I think he's a dirty player.
Mm-hmm.
They hate Tom Wilson. They think he's a dirty player. He's not. Really good dude. But everyone's got kind of a guy that everyone else hates. And so that's where it starts, I think. But by and large, I just believe the vitriol, the nastiness, the angry, cursing, awful, vulgar, terrible tweets and takes, it is worse in this category, in this sphere of this Tom Wilson thing we're in the middle of right now than anything else. I mute hundreds of people every time I tweet about this with an opinion. Hundreds. And I don't know how anyone wouldn't. I mean, just people say awful things. There's nothing else like it in sports right now, is all I know. That game was really fun the other night,
though. Wasn't it delightful?
Number five, to the baseball field. Josh Harrison speaking on the Nats' struggles. And they have just not been able to come through enough with runners on base. He's one of the few guys this year who's delivered some timely hits, but he knows that's something they got to do better as they head to the Bronx to play the Yankees.
You know, in that situation, you know, sometimes guys, I don't want to say press, but, you know, we all know what's at stake and what's happened in, you know, the past week or two in those situations. And sometimes you got to slow it down and, you know, just keep it simple. But, you know, that's easier said than done. You get the adrenaline, you know, you see a pitch, you miss a pitch. You know, it's all part of it. But, you know, like I said, you got to keep plugging away and, you know, might be presented with that same opportunity tomorrow or the day after. And you got to take each day for what it is, each at bat for what it is. And I mean, I know it sucks to lose. Nobody likes losing. I can't stand it. We had every opportunity, but it's baseball. I've never heard a team go on 162-0.
That's your 5 for 5 on Grant and Danny. By the way, the Nats, who have not yet put out their lineup for tonight, have said Davey Martinez confirmed Juan Soto is going to DH and will bat third.
I just saw the lineup posted here quite literally 10 seconds ago. Juan Soto, DH, batting third.
Yeah, Davey said that in his press conference today. And made it clear about an hour ago that that was going to be the case, regardless of how everything else around Soto looked in the lineup. So that's important. And we'll get start number one for Soto since he went on the shelf a couple weeks ago. I'm sure he'll be back in 10 days and everything will be fine. They need him. They need him to hit. They need him to drive the ball. They need home runs. They need to start putting some crooked numbers up on the scoreboard. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We do not like talking about this Aaron Rodgers thing unless there is a reason to. There's a reason to today. Brian Baldinger thinks Rodgers should want to come to Washington, and he thinks if Washington can get Rodgers, they would be a legitimate Super Bowl contender immediately. What do you think about that? That's next.
A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. Getting this far, obviously there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not. But just the uncertainty is tough and the finality of it all.
That was a despondent Aaron Rodgers, completely dejected, dispirited after his team lost in the NFC Championship game to the Bucks at the podium. From that moment forward, His relationship with the Packers has continued to spiral out of control to the point where Adam Schefter reported on draft day that Rodgers doesn't want to go back to the team. I want to get into the fact that it is stunning to both of us that there are a lot of members of this fan base that wouldn't want to trade for that guy.
There's so many who don't want to do it.
Can't fathom it. I guess we could send up the bat signal now. I need to talk to these people. I need to try to figure this out. If you are among the group who, in a hypothetical world, because I think it's unlikely and isn't going to happen, but in a weird, crazy world where the opportunity to trade for Aaron Rodgers presents itself this offseason, if you are one of the people who says, don't do that, I need you to tell me why. 800-636-1067. I need you to tell Danny why. 800-636-1067. Real quick, though, did you hear Schefter on Dan Patrick?
No, I didn't.
All right. Schefter's on Dan Patrick yesterday. Dare, see if you can find this audio somewhere on Twitter. It's been working its way around the web. He basically explained how the story came out on draft day that he broke while we were live on the air that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay and doesn't want to go back. And what Schefter is admitted to, not in a way where he feels bad about it or thinks that he botched something, I think he thinks it kind of makes the case for what he did correct, is that he just accumulated little nuggets and information all off season long. And he claims there was nothing new that came his way on draft day. Rodgers didn't hit him up. Rodgers' agent didn't contact him. Like, nobody reached out to him from the Packers. Nothing like that. For him to come out with the report that completely changed the rest of our show and every show going on the radio and on TV in the country.
That's kind of wild.
Now, I am a massive fan of Adam Schefter's. I think he is the best reporter in the game. He obviously gets the most news. I think he's really good. His batting average is the highest. Guys like Rap Sheet, who do a good job, swing and miss a lot. He puts the ball in play constantly, never really gets things wrong. I can't tell you how uncomfortable, though, that is to me as someone who has a little bit of a background in reporting, who covered a beat, who doesn't just sit here and flap his gums as a talk show host. Mm-hmm. I do it now, but I used to actually be a reporter, and I kind of know what the rules are, written and unwritten. What he did was weird. And it shouldn't really happen. This is the audio, right, Darius? You got this? All right, listen to this, Danny, if you haven't heard this yet. And we can get into Rodgers to Washington in a second. But this actually, I was just surprised. He was very casual, very comfortable talking to DP. He's obviously boys with him. He's, like, drinking coffee and, like, lounging back. And the report on draft day came up.
You know, Dan, the funny part about it is that I've heard people say, oh, Aaron Rodgers wanted that out before the draft. Mm-hmm. And I can assure you Aaron Rodgers did not want that out before the draft. I've had people say, the Green Bay Packers planted that. It was a very pro-Packers story.
Yeah,
I can assure you the Green Bay Packers didn't plant that. When people guess at where stories come from, more often than not, they're usually wrong. And in this case, they're wrong. This was an accumulation all during the offseason of just listening to people talk and observing. And if we go back to the NFC Championship game that the Green Bay Packers lost at home, did we not hear Aaron Rodgers, after that game, talk about his level of unhappiness, if you will, uncertainty for the future? Just go back and listen to that press conference, and it sounds almost like he's saying goodbye to Green Bay. And so your antenna's up, and I'm just telling you, throughout the course of the offseason, there was rarely a week that went by where I didn't hear something about Aaron Rodgers. And on draft day, there's a report that morning from Paul Allen out in Minneapolis that the 49ers made a draft offer, which they didn't make an offer. They never made an offer. And other people are saying that the 49ers called. And I said, how long till it gets out that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay? Is it next week? Is it next when he doesn't show to the OTAs? Is it next month when he isn't? It's going to come out. What does it matter if it comes out now or next week or next month? And so.
So you chose to break the news on draft day.
That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
But it wasn't something that you got information about.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, it was nothing that morning that came in. And okay. All of a sudden said to me, yeah, he wants out. You should report this. Like, it was going on all off season. You just keep hearing it. And there was more and more talk. And now there's starting to be Aaron Rodgers talking. I said, you know what? This isn't going to wait much longer. Let's just go. And it just happened to be drafted.
because
I heard that yesterday and I was pretty stunned. I mean, it was reported as if it was in some way breaking. Now, his point is how you perceive it is your own issue, kind of. The information isn't wrong, as we now know, okay? But it's an accumulation, as he's calling it, of conversations that he's had with people. But the Packers didn't tell him anything, he says. Rodgers didn't tell him anything. Rodgers' agent didn't tell him anything. For you to go forward and say Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay on draft day, it makes people think that someone is saying he wants out now.
Because what's the perception? The perception is, totally. As Schefter addresses at the beginning, that, I mean, I'm no expert, but I can put two and two together. Like every other fan that's read a single line about any of the teams or the leagues that they care about. When it comes out like that, it's pretty clear that somebody wants to get their word out, that somebody is using this for maximum effect. And for him to say, nah, that's not even the case. It's not Rodgers, not this guy. Now, he could be just doubling back and sort of, you know, painting over his breadcrumbs and, you know, masking his sources there. So
you're making yourself look really bad to do that.
But that's kind of my point is that that's uncomfortable to me. And I don't know, man. I'm not questioning the great one there, but wow. Are we too much into that? That it seems a little off-putting?
I mean, we could ask people on the phones that aren't as plugged in or don't necessarily care as much about how reports come and how you would normally go with things. 800-636-1067, you want to weigh in. I mean, the TV numbers for the draft were incredible. They spiked massively. Mm-hmm. ESPN did killer numbers. The Aaron Rodgers storyline was probably a factor in that. I just think that first thing that may be uncomfortable is he said, if this is going to get out at some point, whether it's in a day or a week or a month, it's pretty clear to him this is not imminent. This is not something that needs to be reported now. It's not like Rodgers is holding them over the barrel saying, I need to be traded. I want to be traded. I'm not going to play for you. Get me out of here. Schefter just said to Patrick, maybe a month from now it comes out that he's not happy. And his point is, well, what am I waiting for? And probably also, someone else is going to break it. If mm-hmm. this guy in Minnesota, Paul Allen's got it, then everyone's starting to hear some rumblings. I might as well be first here. I might as well get this out there. I'm surprised that he would go with something, couching it the way that he did, with nothing new. In other words, there was no news there. He said nothing had come out. He hadn't learned anything that day. Well, the last time you got a tip, the last time you heard from someone he was unhappy, you decided. You had to, as a reporter, I say to myself, is this worth reporting right now? Do I need to report this? Do I need to do more reporting? Do I need to find more out? Do I need mm-hmm. more information? I made the decision, if I'm Schefter, right now I'm not reporting this, either because it's not important enough, or in this case, maybe I don't have enough information, or maybe it's a little bit of speculation. And quite literally, nothing changed, he's saying, I didn't hear from anyone else on draft day. It was just, I decided, you know what, I'll just throw this out there, and it just so happened to be the draft. And the last thing I'll say is I do feel bad for some of the kids. One of the parents of one of the players drafted, a former NFL player, Joe Horn, went harder than I think was necessary, and I disagree with him a little bit. He basically was saying how it was completely unfair to his son that while he was, you know, on the clock and then he was drafted in the top 10, like the conversation was largely about Aaron Rodgers, and it was, you know, completely screwed his kid over. There is something to be said for that. I don't think that the networks are in the business of or need to necessarily worry about every kid getting 5 minutes and a good breakdown. They got to entertain. They have a job to do. People want us to talk about teams every day. We got to talk about certain things that move the needle.
With all due respect to what he's talking about, you're more than welcome to be aggrieved. I'm also more than welcome to not be concerned about that.
Having said that, though, on the day that these guys are getting drafted, if not for the Rodgers story, there would have been a lot more time to fill talking about them. And so that was something kind of consciously that Schefter decided, but I don't know. I saw that yesterday, and I just thought it was incredible that he was so readily comfortably admitting. He goes, yeah, I didn't hear anything really that day. It was just figured I'd throw it out there. And I also love almost immediately all your other guys, like Rap Sheet, or like mm-hmm. hearing this as well.
That's what I'm hearing.
Schefter basically hasn't heard anything recently, but they all have these rumblings over the course of the offseason. And I just know from when I, smaller scale, but when you cover the Washington football team, you hear a million things that you don't report. Either it's not worth it, people don't care enough, you don't need to put it out there because it's personal about someone's life, or, you know, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And then someone reports something, and you see these people going, yeah, I knew that too. You didn't report it.
Mm-hmm.
You decided it wasn't worth it. Don't be the I knew it too guy and throw your hand in the air.
Hearing the same thing.
Right away.
With the quote tweet. Ugh. Yeah, I'm good on that. But anyway, that's very much in the weeds of sort of the mechanics of, but that is very surprising to me.
What was his original tweet? I got to go back and find it.
I know. I was trying to find it just now while you were talking.
You keep talking, and I'm going to try to go back.
Because I do remember it very much sounded like, guys, here's the bombshell. I'm hearing this.
Well, that's what it was sold that way. It was like Chef D Bomb and ESPN was doing this big bit where like Diana Rossini and all their reporters were going, well, you don't need me here today. You got Adam Schefter blowing up the draft, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
A lot of that.
And if it's just, and you know, I understand sitting on something for 24 hours or 48 hours. If you just learned it and you go, here's where we're going to get maximum effect, right? Like where the eyeballs are already upon us and this will sort of build some hype for our own television event. That isn't criminal to me. I think that's just fine. But if nothing's been new for 6 months, 2 months, however long your timetable, and you're just going, the rumblings were the same rumblings that they were a month ago with no new information. That seems weird to me, man. I don't know. I don't really. That's all. I'm not like offended by it. I'm not angry about it. It's one of those things where I just kind of go, well, that seems very odd. Is that odd to anybody else? Is it odd? And then I want to go back to the Aaron Rodgers part of this thing about him and Green Bay either repairing their relationship or not.
Maybe it's just one of those things where you don't like when the seeing the underbelly of how the how the sausage is made, so to speak. Like these reports, you know, they you want to think Shefty just got off the phone every single time with one of the main players in the conversation. But that's not always the case. Like there is angles to this, and sometimes, you know, you're trying to move the needle for a broadcast or you're teasing something coming up, whatever it may be. But I just think to come out and basically make it sound like Aaron Rodgers is about to get traded today, when nothing has been said to you, nothing new supposedly, and we're talking about the Packers, the player, you know, he's saying, yeah, nobody told me anything. I was stunned by that. I'll get the exact tweet from Schefter here. Yeah, here we go. Reigning MVP Aaron Rodgers is so disgruntled with the Green Bay Packers that he has told some within the organization that he does not want to return to the team. League and team sources told ESPN on Thursday. More on NFL Live now. He said to Dan Patrick that no one with the Packers told him that, so maybe you confirm it with other teams or other agents or something. But he's saying league and team sources told ESPN on Thursday. He's telling Dan Patrick it's not really based on what happened that day. It's an accumulation of an off-season's worth of stories or kind of nuggets.
Weird. That's weird.
So
right?
Told ESPN on Thursday, to me, gives off this imminent, it's happening, it might happen tonight kind of vibe. Now, you guys can react to that if you want, but look at this. We got a ton of Washington football team fans ready to tell us why they don't want Aaron Rodgers, which is, say it with me, hysterical. But we'll do that next on Grant and Danny. Of every fan in this town would want to trade for him. What's the next angle we can address? And as days have gone by, it's pretty clear that it is actually closer to a split. A lot of people don't want to trade for Aaron Rodgers. Now, that was Brian Baldinger, smart football gentleman, saying Washington would be a Super Bowl contender. Rodgers should want to come here. We're taking your calls at 800-636-1067. I want to hear from people, especially those of you who are anti-trading for Rodgers, if it were to present itself, which it probably wouldn't because it's kind of too good to be true. Guylo, who's a good friend of ours, he said,
indeed,
I don't know why you guys are surprised by this. He says, this is the same fan base that thinks Alex Smith is good, same one that thinks Kirk Cousins was bad, same one that values quarterback win-loss record, same fan base that thinks Heinicke is the franchise. Swaths of our fans cannot evaluate quarterback play. You might be right. I don't know. But let's hear. Let's hear why people do not want to go get one of the best quarterbacks who has ever lived, who was the MVP of the league last year, when Washington has gone almost 40 years without finding a solution at quarterback. Robert's in D.C. What's up, Robert? How are you?
Hey, Robert.
Hey, buddy. Hey, listen, I'm old enough to remember trading for stars like Michael Jordan, getting Michael Jordan here. Trading Chris Webber for Mitch Richmond. Just take our time, wait, and be patient. That's all I want to do.
Thank
Appreciate you, man.
Enjoy it. Enjoy that patience.
Keep being so patient. Keep sitting there and waiting. Don't go on a date. Eventually, if you just sit on your couch and watch rom-coms, she's going to accidentally open the door to your house thinking that she's going into the neighbor's door like Tom Brady trying to find Byron Leftwich's house. And this beautiful, gorgeous, hilarious girl, the woman of your dreams, is just going to show up on your doorstep if you keep waiting and you're patient enough. That's literally the equivalent of, I dated someone once. They cheated on me. I'm never going to do that again. I'm sorry that one time another team in town 30 years ago made a basketball trade. That
Chris Webber got arrested. Nate Poland got fed up, and they made a bad trade. That has nothing to do with the greatest quarterback alive coming to your city.
Let's go to Scott in Stafford. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hey guys. How are you?
Hey, man.
So, long time fan of you guys. You know, the Junks and B. Mitch and then you guys in the afternoon. So,
cool, dude.
Washington football team, formerly known as the Redskins, fans since 69, right? So we're always chasing the bright and shiny object, right? And I get it. You guys are dogging us for those of us who don't want to wait. We don't really want to wait, but we want to be smart. Look what Belichick does up in New England. He didn't trade for shiny objects. And, greatest quarterback available is not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is not going to be available to us. There's too much draft capital involved. But that's just my take. I'll give it to you guys. Go ahead.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. So, yeah, I mean, Belichick, we know he's a genius. We know he's one of the greatest ever do it. He's not the greatest head coach ever. If Drew Bledsoe's their guy, which was Belichick's design, do they win 7 Super Bowls? Probably not, to be honest with you. Yeah, he got lucky with Tom Brady in the 6th round. And the rest is beautiful history and music. I don't wait for lightning to strike in a field that where it struck 21 years ago and just sit there and hold my bottle out waiting for that thing to happen again. You've got to be aggressive. Here's the alternative to me is you lose. We've got losing covered. We've done losing. If it doesn't work, you'll lose. If it does work, you win in a way that you haven't won in 30 years. Why isn't that the intuitive right away response for everybody? That's what I don't get.
I'm just trying to be as calm as possible.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I feel like I just found a coupon to the best restaurant in town. And I'm saying, who wants to go with me? And people are making up reasons why they don't want to go. Well, I got leftovers at the house. Yeah, you know what? I don't need to go. Let someone else please come with me.
Kurt Warner bagged groceries, Grant. So go down to the Trader Joe's.
I cannot believe this. I'm going to have to do a poll. And once I've always said when people ask, like, what's Washington football team fan base like? Smart fan base. They know their stuff. If that poll doesn't show up over 50% trade for Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what to say.
It's got to be over I-95. If it's not over 95, I'll give 5 people the benefit of the doubt for not hitting the right button. It's Aaron Rodgers.
I cannot believe this. 800-636-1067 is the number. Grant and Danny. With Danny, I'm Grant. You're locked into the Fan. We're with you until 6:30 tonight. Nats pregame when we are done. I will not sit here and do Aaron Rodgers topics for a bunch of weeks. I'm just going to tell you that. It's not the plan. Danny, I know you don't want to do that either.
Correct.
I am now fixated on this, though.
I can't get over this.
Someone just tweeted me and said, please don't waste our time talking about if we should trade for Aaron Rodgers. And I assure you, I'm not doing that. You don't understand. Of course they should trade for Aaron Rodgers. It's not a debate. It's not a topic. If you can get him, do it. Whatever you have to trade, whoever needs to be traded, whatever picks need to be given up, give them all up immediately, obviously. There is a stunningly high number of people who do not want to even try to trade for Aaron Rodgers. And we're that to me is the topic. It's what are we trying to accomplish here? They're saying things like,
Take your time. We're
building this thing correctly. You're right. And now you need a quarterback. And Aaron Rodgers became available.
They're
saying things like, well, what happens after he leaves? There's a guy on hold here. I don't know if we'll get to him, I'm sure. But the caption that I have here, it says, if we do get Rodgers, we're automatic Super Bowl contenders. But that's just for now. What are you talking about? And I'll be nicer when I answer your call. Is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard? Team that hasn't won anything since I was in a diaper?
Two playoff games.
Guy says, yeah, we might win the Super Bowl in the next couple
years. But then what do you do?
But then what? Oh, my God. I need to go home. Well, that finish the show.
That 2019 Nationals banner. But, yeah, but now they're not as good, Grant. I have a theory. Here is my theory. So many Washington fans, and I'm one. I love this place. I love it here. I love the Washington Redskins, now the Washington football team. They're in my blood. I care so much. Okay? I will always care. In a time that is gone, and long gone, mind you, it has not been here in decades, they go, this is how we won that time. Over a 12-year period, we won with this excellent offensive line,
three different
quarterbacks,
yeah, we won
the running game,
Doug Williams,
good defense,
Mark Rippon.
Ipso facto, this elusive formula is not elusive. Simply do that again.
Yeah, go find your tackle in the – they don't have as many rounds. What round did Joe Jacoby get drafted?
Eighth or ninth or something like that, whatever.
Some round that doesn't exist. Yeah. So you need an undrafted free agent at tackle. I mean, the same thing. Get the band back together.
And that – those echoes of that influence this now today. In the era of free agency, where Joe Gibbs the first saw coming and went, oh my God, I got to get the hell out of here. I can't do this anymore. I can't do the thing that I used to do that gave me an advantage over everybody else. Stashing guys, having full pad practices in December, running people into the ground. I can't do that anymore. Player movement is going to change the way that I do business and I'm getting out. Okay? Since that time, there are a handful of exceptions where a quarterback is not a superstar that has won the Super Bowl. Everybody else, it's a who's who. It's who belongs in the Hall of Fame, and it's that wing. Nobody here has updated and got on board with that. The league has evolved. Points get scored. Passes get thrown.
Forget all that.
Nobody can figure this out. And they go, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is good. Nobody's saying Aaron Rodgers is bad.
Forget
They're
all this.
Going, we should do it this
Simplify
other way.
Simplify this. Simplify this. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest quarterbacks who's ever lived. I don't care where you have him on your list. I've got him 2 on mine. A lot of people are going to have him 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it is. Had his best season of his career last year. The one that just finished. 48 touchdowns. 5 interceptions. Completed 71% of his passes. He would be coming here, Danny, with a better defense, better wide receiver group, better supporting cast, better chance to win a division. Period. I posted this tweet, just, would you do this trade? Do you want Aaron Rodgers? About 1,000 people have voted, and almost 30% are saying no. 30%.
Let me add to that no pile just to confound you. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to vote yes.
About
30%. 30%.
There aren't 30. That many people trolling me.
Yes, sorry. They've all gotten together.
We got a full bank of phones here of people saying things like, I don't know. So we're not going to yell at you. I want to hear what you think. I'm just going to sit here and listen. This is instructive for me. I'm trying to figure out why we are the way we are as a fan base. I'm trying to learn. So give me what you got here. Let's go to Scott and Bowie. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Scott.
Two quick points. The first one was the Adam Schefter thing. And Grant, you know, you covered the team for a long time. It's sometimes like what he didn't say. I feel like it might have been the agent.
Well, he said that Favre can't. He said they didn't reach out. Now, he could have been lying, but he said it wasn't. I think I said Favre.
It wasn't the can.
Right.
It wasn't Rodgers. So, I mean, it wasn't his agent, yeah.
Right. I don't want, you know, semantics and all that. I mean, it could have been, but it could have been a network just trying to get an extra boost for the draft and all that kind of stuff because teams are going to tune in to see if Rodgers get traded. That's the first thing. The second thing is I just feel like if you look at our history – I'm a long-suffering fan, and I understand most time when we get a guy who's a pro baller from another place, whether it be Bruce Smith, whether it be Stanley Richard, all these kind of guys come in here and they don't perform the same way. So I think the fan base has this kind of like PTSD of us acquiring players who have been pro ballers elsewhere, Jeremiah Trotter. So I'm just asking you, tell me a guy who has performed, and I'm all for Aaron Rodgers getting here.
Okay, I will do that gladly. London Fletcher, Marcus Washington, Pierre Garçon, to name a few. Free agency has worked for this team plenty of times. But I also just don't – I think it's a reasonable explanation for why this fan base would be worried about it. I think it's a smart call. I agree with you. I think that's part of the problem, the PTSD of all of the misses. This is not that. I would ask to you rhetorically, how many of those guys won the MVP of the league the previous season? The answer rhymes with the guy that plays basketball for the Miami Heat, Tyler Hero. It's Zippy. How many of those guys are quarterbacks who have been annually one of the best players in the league for 15 years running? The answer is zero. This is not a linebacker who may or may not be a fit. This is not a safety who you're asking to do something different than he did before. This is not a defensive end who's chasing a sacks record who's 52 years old. This is a quarterback who is playing the best football of a iconic and legendary career, who was the best player in the league last year, and who just won the MVP award. Tyler in Alexandria, what's up?
Hey, Grant, Danny, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, too.
Listener, fan. I'm honestly on your guys' side. I don't know why fans here are getting, some people don't even want to entertain the idea of the trade. I'm tired of this notion of, like, let's be patient, let's wait it out. I mean, if we keep waiting, then all these young studs we have, we won't be able to keep them all because, salary cap, we won't be able to keep them all. And, I mean, if we, like, hypothetically, we go out, we get Rodgers, and then you go to like an NFC championship game, and you go deep in the playoffs. I mean, I'm only 25 years old, and we've stunk since I've been a little kid, you know? Like, what's the worst that's going to happen after that? We stink?
Yes.
I'm tired of people saying, wait it out. Like, what are we waiting for?
This is Danny's bit.
This is my entire point about everything.
Your whole bit on this is, what's the worst that can happen? They can keep being bad.
Yeah, what are you bad? I've done that. Right? I'm so good at that. I'm amazing at always losing. Decades of losing. Just losing out the yin-yang. Being a joke. The other teams go, and other cities with the new sports talk radio, because they got radio in other cities. When they're doing their dumb, hacky schedule release party, and they start predicting wins and losses, you know what they do when they get to Washington? A big, fat-ass W right next to that one. And if you're lucky enough to be the NFC East, you get to put two of them sons of bitches up there. And you're thrilled. We get to CW. Yeah. Count that as a win. I don't care if you're in Detroit, Cleveland, Oakland, or Vegas. St. Louis doesn't even have a damn team anymore. You're thrilled when you see us. We play down to our competition. We are the down. We're System of a Down over here. That's us. What are we going to be? What if it doesn't work? Bad. You'll be bad. You'll be bad again? You mean bad?
What about the guy who said, you might win a Super Bowl, but then what?
I don't know, honestly. I get arrested for indecent exposure. I get arrested for I end up in the hospital because of hypothermia, because I'm running naked through the streets hugging strangers. What happens after the Super Bowl? I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted. Ridicule my ass 3 years later if they're in a rebuild mode on another coach after a Super Bowl win where I get to chug beers on a parade float. Let me know what I should be doing then. We'll have that conversation.
This is not that different than a person who is stranded on an island because their little plane went down, and like a helicopter hovers overhead and says, you need anything? And they go, no, we're fine. And then they leave, and you go, someone's like, well, why did you just do that? We needed to leave. And they're like, let's be patient. Like, someone else could come along, and maybe we don't have to try as hard to get up to the helicopter. Maybe it'd be the boat.
Yeah,
the boat
I was hoping for a boat instead of a helicopter.
It's like the old, I don't remember what movie this, it might be Pursuit of Happiness or something. There's like this story where, I'm going to botch this so bad. I haven't seen this movie in years, but it's like this kid was told this story about how, like, someone was like lost at sea or something, and they kept praying for God to help them. And then this boat came by and was like, hey, do you want us to take you to safety? And they're like, no, I'm fine. Like, God's going to come get me or something. And then he didn't. And then so the person dies, and they're like, God, what happened? He's like, I sent a boat for you, dummy. Like, I sent you a boat. Why didn't you get on the boat? Like, that's what this reminds me of. Like, if you just keep trying, one day we'll get quarterback. And then Aaron Rodgers is like, hey, guys, I hate Green Bay. I don't really like you that much, but let's work together. And they're like, nah, we're good. We got Fitz now.
We're building something.
We got Taylor Heineke. That's another one, by the way. I can't wait to hear that. Like, if you bring in Rodgers, doesn't that kind of block Heineke? I mean,
it might. I'll block him like Tetris blocks are falling down. I'll imprison his ass
like
behind
Sam
a wall.
Sam Dallenberg at the rim. Let's go to Trey in La Plata. Hey, Trey.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hey, Trey.
You know, I was the first one to be like, no, we don't need them and all that stuff. But it's BS. We do need them because I'm talking with a coworker. He goes, you guys go from top 15, top 20 to Super Bowl contender with Aaron Rodgers. He's like, you're an idiot if you don't want him. He's like, you're lying to yourself. And I agree with him. But what's it going to take to get him? And I really hope he doesn't come here and get jinxed or something bad happens. But yeah, we automatically, in my opinion now, Super Bowl contenders, Dan Snyder needs to go ahead and do the right thing, reach down in his bag and pay the man.
So, luckily, jinxes aren't a real thing, so we can start with that. Whether it works here or not, I can't look into the future, but yeah. the good news is there's no such thing as him getting jinxed.
Well, if he came and got hurt his first, you know, spring practice.
That would stink.
That would be awful. Okay. The analogy I always use is if you played blackjack for a single second in your life, you understand that there are best practices. You're sitting on 16, the dealer has a 6 showing. This happened to me once. I was in Vegas, and I go, I'm going to stay because that's the right thing to do. Everyone's ever played blackjack knows. The dealer turns over a 5, drops a jack down, and I lose. I lost $200. Was that the right thing to do? Of course it was. It's a process thing. This is a process thing.
I just, you know, it's funny because since the moment this came out, I said, I'm not going to do Rodgers call radio. It's just too easy, and there's better things. There's other things we can do. We could do a more sophisticated show. And we're not even, like, the reason I said that was, here's how that conversation will go with every person who likes this team even a little bit. Hey, do you want Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Of course I want Aaron Rodgers.
Uh-huh.
Will you give up anything to get him? I'll give up anything to get him. Okay, cool. What's the next segment? And like literally, that's just not what it is. It's a lot of people saying things like, well, I don't know. I don't want to give up picks. We can't give up a good defensive lineman who's never made it to the Pro Bowl. Yeah, I don't. We can't do that.
Around 400 people in your poll are saying no.
Who are these people? But Guilo made a great point. These are my people. This is my fan base. I love you. Like, you're my brothers and you're my sister. I'll hang out with you till the end of the earth. I'll take your back in a fight against Cowboys and Eagles and Giants fans. This is the same fan base that thought Alex Smith last year, what he was doing, was acceptable. This is the same fan base, whether you thought they should re-sign Kirk Cousins or not. And at the end, I didn't want to because it was too expensive.
It was too much, yeah.
Watched that guy play football and said, he's not that good.
Not for us.
Just the 3 best quarterbacking seasons in his 3 years as a starter that the organization has ever had, and people hated his guts for whatever. This is what we're dealing with. The same director that gave us these films. And now we're saying, Aaron Rodgers, you mean the guy that just won the MVP award, right? You mean the guy that had 50 touchdowns last year with 5 picks, yeah? Rodgers, he wears number 12 in Green Bay, led the league in touchdown percentage 3 times, touchdowns multiple times, every category, going to the Hall of Fame. That guy, one of the best ever, maybe Brady, maybe Manning, those are the 2 better, right? Yeah, I don't want him. That's what we're doing now. Anthony's in D.C. Hey, Anthony.
Anthony. Hey, bud.
It's so silent.
Hey, pal.
So silent.
Hey, bud.
Let's go to Ernie in Fort Washington. What's up, Ernie?
What's up?
Hey, buddy.
My point is this. We're going to use the scenario of that projected trade that you mentioned earlier.
Right.
My issue is this: a year ago, prior to his MVP award season and so on and so forth, I don't think everybody would be dead set on, yeah, we got to get this guy at all costs, because you also factor in the number of years this guy's been in the league. My issue is that the 1-2 picks in the first, next year and the year after that can't be gotten back if this guy decides, well, after the end of this season, well, I'm going to retire. You can negotiate a deal to get maybe some of the money back that he was due once he decided to retire, but your picks are gone. You're right back in the same boat that you were in before.
Yeah.
Still needing a quarterback, and now you don't have a first or a second for the next 2 years.
Yeah, and that's why, Ernie, it's that part is smart, and I think that's a good call. And if that is the argument people are making, he could just say, I'm done. I understand that. It's why before you would trade for him, you would have to have an understanding of what he's got left and what his plan is. You would be signing him to an extension. You would be getting a commitment to him that he's around for multiple years. You're not just sight unseen, no conversation with Aaron Rodgers, trading for him. There would be an understanding that he verbally tells you, yeah, I'm going to be playing 2 or 3 more years.
But real quick, you heard the scenario. Well, what if this, and this? 8 conditions had to be met. Yeah, I guess you get boned on your draft picks if he just decides he's not going to play anymore. Okay. Then there's the what if he gets hurt scenario, like it happened with Alex Smith.
Right.
Okay.
And by the way, then a couple years from now when they're not good, we could say the Rodgers thing blew up, just like the Smith thing blew up.
Like, hey,
just
it didn't work.
Tagging Cousins 2 times blew up. You can go through the whole thing. We've been doing that. We got that covered. We've done the Griffin thing blew up. We're still here. The sun keeps coming up. It's still worth a shot. Also, he said before last year, people might not have wanted to trade it for him. You mean when he threw for 4,000 yards, 6-1 touchdown interception ratio, and his team went 13-3 and they got to the NFC Championship game on his back? Because that was the year before last year when he won the MVP. 26 touchdowns, 4 picks, led the league in interception percentage.
And it was,
I would have taken him.
Yeah, 2 quote-unquote down years. Well, the year before, which McCarthy finally got fired, you see how great he's been in Dallas. The year after, they run the ball to try to protect Rodgers.
But with a better supporting cast, a better defense, better receivers here. And again, he didn't, he had that year and people go, why didn't you throw for more yards? Why didn't you throw for more touchdowns? They were running the ball because they're beating everyone by 14. Because they were 13-3 and they got to the NFC title game. That's why. So yeah, the year before his MVP year, pretty awful. 6-1 touchdown to interception ratio, I think was what he ended up at. Go to Jonathan in Falls Church. Hey, Jonathan.
Yeah, sort of following up on the PTSD call, your first one. Maybe it's actually the Donovan McNabb syndrome that people have, but this is a completely different quarterback than Donovan McNabb. The best example I can think of why you go get Aaron Rodgers, if you can, is when Steve McNair went to the Baltimore Ravens, who were mediocre, and instantly they won 13 games. And actually, if I were the Baltimore Ravens, you can call me crazy, but in a straight-up deal, I would trade Lamar for Aaron Rodgers straight up if I thought for sure that Aaron was going to give me 2 or 3 good years. I would do that. We look at Joe Montana going to the Chiefs, taking him to the AFC Championship game. There's numerous examples. Quarterbacks are different than your other players and your receivers. Your receivers rely on a great quarterback. Your quarterbacks make your receivers great. And Aaron Rodgers will make your offense great. I'm not even a Redskin fan, and I think that, they should go get him if they can. Because I just, play the
virtual GM
thing.
It is.
Appreciate you, buddy.
I just don't know how it's a thing.
And it's also, though,
someone wouldn't want to.
I tell you what, if this is, in the late 90s, early 2000s, and you saw the age, I'd go, I don't know, right? Because guys' skill set declines, guys get injured, et cetera.
43 now.
This is what's new. This is what's now. I mean, Peyton Manning would probably, even within the last couple of years, would probably still be playing if he didn't have his neck fused together with a welder. That's what made him retire. The fact that he couldn't do it anymore. Not age. He happened to have an injury that was pretty grave. That's what knocks guys out is the occasional thing. But training methods-wise, Rodgers, again, just put up an MVP season as a 37-year-old.
For the record, I do think if your argument against trading for Rodgers is he may not be happy here or he may not want to be here or stay here or whatever, reasonable. If your argument is, someone just brought one up that I thought was actually smart, where they say, what was the one guy's gripe or concern about him not working here? That he would retire maybe after a year?
Yeah, that he might retire.
Yeah, I think that one plays too. I think that works. I think those are things you just sort out before you make the trade. and you say, hey, we're building this whole thing around you. You got the next 4 or 5 years. It's your organization.
What do you want?
You're sitting at the table. You're helping us make calls. This is your show, man. So let's do it. Now, would Rivera do that? I'm not so convinced. I think Rivera kind of likes running his own deal. That's what I would do. Carry me to victory. Go get me some hardware, buddy. Let's have some ring fitting together. As people say, well, he's won one Super Bowl. First of all, it's really hard to win Super Bowls. That's an accomplishment. That's a big deal. He's in the NFC Championship game regularly. He's in the hunt year in and year out, which to me is the whole goal. A la the Caps. Be in the playoffs every year, you're probably going to win a title. That's the process that I'm looking for. Radio.com's now Odyssey. Download the Odyssey app. Listen to 106.7 The Fan and all the sports news, music, and podcasts that move you. It's time to figure out what we learned today on Grant and Danny. What did we learn today? Driven by your local Honda dealer, race in for a great deal on the Honda of your dreams during the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event. Take advantage of the savings and see your local Honda dealer today.
GP, I learned a number of things. We could talk about the Aaron Rodgers phenomenon, but I learned this. If you make a reservation on OpenTable, you get a lot of messages from OpenTable about that reservation. Like, I knew that I made the reservation. I got it on my calendar. I've told the people involved that it's happening. I've had to respond several times that I'm still planning on coming. I think they're very concerned that, you know, and I understand this from a restaurant's perspective, that, like, you say you're coming and then you don't come and there's no real penalty. They want to, like, triple, quadruple check that you're still coming. So, yes, I'm still coming, Open Table. I'm still coming tomorrow.
Good that you let them know that.
Yeah.
The thing I learned today was that if you drop your car off overnight at a place to fix your car,
yeah,
apparently it does happen that they'll take your car home and drive it around so that they can help diagnose the problem. Now, they are supposed to tell you before they do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I never heard that in my life. I never thought that was a thing. I've never known that that happened. I was today days old when I learned that, as the kids say. I had no file. You maybe had a small file, Danny? Did you have a file?
No, I definitely didn't. I thought it sounded bogus. But upon further review, it makes sense, right? Like, if you've, hey, my car rattles when it gets above 50 or when I change gears. Okay, let's get it on the road to experience that. Not when I've got a backup camera, as this guy did in Canada. I need you to check it out by taking it 90 miles away.
I also learned that Juan Soto will bat third tonight.
Here we go.
And he will DH for the Nationals in his first start since coming off the shelf. Attaboy. Go get him. Have a great weekend, not just to the Nats in New York, the Caps against the Flyers, the Wiz, big game against Indiana. Thanks to all of you for listening. Darris, Ryan, Danny, Grant saying so long. Enjoy your evening. Go Nats.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.